Let's read together Isaiah chapters 56 and 57. In Isaiah 56, we have a prophetic look into the blessings of the millennium for both Jews and Gentiles. And in Isaiah 57, again we see the contrast between those who respond to God's grace and those who reject God's grace. Let's begin by reading the first 8 verses of Isaiah chapter 56. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who lays hold on it, who keeps from defiling the Sabbath, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Do not let the son of the foreigner, who has joined himself to the Lord, speak, saying, the Lord has utterly separated me from his people. Nor let the eunuch say, here I am, a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, and choose what pleases me, and hold fast my covenant, even to them I will give in my house, and within my walls a place and a name. Better than that of sons and daughters, I will give them an everlasting name. They shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the foreigner, who join themselves to the Lord to serve him, and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath, and holds fast my covenant, even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. The Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel says, yet I will gather to him others besides those who are gathered to him. Let's begin our study of this chapter, Isaiah chapter 56, with some background notes. Unbelieving higher critics of the Bible take the position that the Isaiah of 700 BC only wrote the first division of the book, namely chapters 1 through 39. They say that a so-called Deutero-Isaiah wrote chapters 40 through 66 sometime later. Why? Because of some of the specific prophecies in this second division of the book, such as the clear prophecies of the suffering Messiah in Isaiah chapter 53, as we've seen. These unbelieving critics of the Bible take this position because they do not and will not believe in the miracle of fulfilled prophecy. These critical theories have no substance to them for the following reasons. Number one, there is not a shred of historical evidence for these theories. Number two, all of Isaiah was found in the Dead Sea Scrolls, which date well before the coming of Christ. And there is no evidence in the Dead Sea Scroll copies of Isaiah of anything other than a unified Isaiah. And number three, all quotations of Isaiah in the New Testament are attributed to the one Isaiah of the Old Testament. And that brings us to our doctrinal point for Isaiah 56. Millennial blessings will be for Jews and Gentiles. Millennial blessings will be for Jews and Gentiles. Now, when we say millennial blessings, we are referring to the future when the Lord returns and establishes his worldwide kingdom, which will continue for 1,000 years, according to Revelation chapter 20. While there are many spiritual blessings for the Christian and the church today, the blessings mentioned here in the first 8 verses of Isaiah chapter 56 are specifically in the context of the Lord's millennial kingdom. In Isaiah chapter 55, we saw that because of the servant Messiah's finished work, not only would Israel be restored, but Gentiles would be redeemed. We said in our talk on Isaiah 55 that in the context, this redemption of the Gentiles specifically referred to the future right before the Lord's return. Because until then, Israel is not and will not be restored to the Lord. And the conversion of the Gentiles in Isaiah 55, as we saw, is linked with the restoration of Israel. Here again, in Isaiah chapter 56, we see that the return of Israel to the Lord and to the land is the context of the blessings of this chapter. Look at verse 8 once again. The Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel says, yet I will gather to him others besides those who are gathered to him. So the blessings on the Gentiles in this chapter are only when the dispersed and outcasts or exiles of Israel are returned, not only to the land, but to the Lord. Then many Gentiles will be redeemed and gathered to restored Israel and blessed. We see in these verses that in the millennium, there will be a temple in Jerusalem, and certain feasts and Sabbaths and sacrifices will be kept. Read Ezekiel chapters 40 through 48, also in this connection. In the millennium, eunuchs will not be barred from the temple courts as they were under the law. See Deuteronomy chapter 23. And Gentiles will be welcomed into the temple courts to worship the Lord. So much so that the millennial temple will be known as a house of prayer for all nations. Verse 7. Millennial blessings will be for Jews and Gentiles. Let's continue reading Isaiah 57. In fact, let's begin with verse 9 of chapter 56. In these verses, Isaiah comes back to the spiritual and moral condition in Israel in his day. Let's read the rest of chapter 56 as background for chapter 57. All you beasts of the field come to devour. His watchmen are blind. They are dumb dogs. They cannot bark. And they are shepherds who cannot understand. They all look to their own way. Come, one says, I will bring wine, and we will fill ourselves with intoxicating drink. Tomorrow will be as today and much more abundant. Question: would you ever buy a watchdog that only slept and didn't bark? That's the way false prophets are, then and today. Verse 10. They are like shepherds who are more interested in their own agendas of gain and pleasure than in the welfare of the sheep. Verses 11 and 12. As a result of this ungodly leadership in Israel, we see in verse 9 that God let foreign enemies, like Assyria and Babylonia, to invade Israel and devour her. In chapter 57, we see the result in Israel and any nation that has ungodly leaders. And that brings us to our doctrinal point for Isaiah chapter 57. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, our doctrinal point for Isaiah 57 is a direct quotation from James chapter 4, verse 6, and 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. This biblical truth is certainly brought out in what we read here in Isaiah chapter 57. In verses 1 and 2, we see that when there are ungodly rulers, the number of righteous people are diminished. In fact, the Lord, in his grace, takes some of the righteous home to heaven, where they finally find peace away from this morally corrupt world. In verses 3 through 10, we see that when there are ungodly rulers and leaders, there is a growth in the number of ungodly who practice increasing wickedness, in contrast to the shrinking godly population who do what is right. We see in verses 3 and 4 that the ungodly in ancient Israel mocked and ridiculed those in the nation who were trying to do what was right. Sound familiar? Verses 5 through 8 describe Israel's involvement in false religions, which involved immoral sexual fertility rites, as well as child sacrifice on the hills and in the valleys of the land. Verses 5 through 8. Inflaming yourselves with gods under every green tree, slaying the children in the valleys, under the clefts of the rock. On a lofty and high mountain you have set your bed. Even there you went up to offer sacrifice. Also behind the doors and their posts you have set up their remembrance. For you have uncovered yourself to those other than me, and have gone up to them. You have enlarged your bed and made a covenant with them. You have loved their bed, where you saw their nudity. Verses 5 through 8. We see in verses 9 and 10 that they even wore themselves out to make journeys to foreign pagan lands to worship the foreign gods there with special offerings of oil and perfumes. Question: Is our own nation any better than ancient Israel? Think of the false religions and low moral standards and killing of the unborn that is part of our post-Christian culture. In verses 11 through 13, the Lord tells the people that their self-righteousness will not measure up to his requirements, and the idols in whom they trust will not be able to deliver them, but instead will be blown away. Verses 11 through 13. And of whom have you been afraid or feared that you have lied and do not remember me, nor taken it to heart? When you cry out, let your collection of idols deliver you, but the wind will carry them all away. A breath will take them. Now comes the good news from the end of verse 13 through verse 19. The Lord's anger will come to an end, and he will bring peace and healing and restoration. The end of verse 13. But he who puts his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit. For I will not contend forever, nor will I always be angry. I was angry and struck him. I hid and was angry, and he went on backsliding in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways and will heal him. I will also lead him and restore comforts to him and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace, to him who is far off and to him who is near, says the Lord, and I will heal him. Now the good news of these verses can be applied in general to anyone who turns to the Lord. But in the context, it is specifically the godly remnant of Jews who will be restored to the Lord in the end times. Notice the end of verse 13. But he who puts his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. The land here is Israel, not the church, right? And my holy mountain is not the church, but Jerusalem, where the millennial temple will be located. Yes, the Lord had to contend with his chosen people over the years and discipline them for their pride and unbelief. But in the end, a humble, godly remnant will be restored to the land and to the Lord. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And now what about practical application for Isaiah chapter 57? There is no rest for the wicked. There is no rest for the wicked. Verses 20 and 21. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. Now, we've all heard the expression, there's no rest for the weary, right? In fact, we've probably used it many times. But there is rest for the weary, according to the Bible. There's the rest of salvation and the rest of soul. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29. So there is rest for the weary. But there is no peace or rest for the wicked. Now, the wicked may look like they are at peace and rest, and they may tell you they have peace and rest, but it's a lie. God has declared that in his moral universe, there is no rest for the wicked.